Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
Well, let's jump in. We got a lot to talk about. So a little history, 4 months ago, I was completely skeptical about AI and how it would ever fit in to copywriting. I saw a post on LinkedIn by Brian Halpin, a copywriter working in Jason Parker's agency. Brian talked about some unbelievable results, nearly 1 million in sales they had gotten on a VSL that was 80% written by AI. I've known Jason for more than 10 years, and Brian's post piqued my interest. Jason agreed to come on the podcast and talk about what they were doing. Nason insisted we bring Jason on again after that podcast. And after the second show, Nathan and I were so astonished by what Jason was saying that we both signed up for his AI copywriting mastermind like within an hour. I found the risk worth taking because I've learned so much about what is possible, including for me, that I've completely changed my mind about AI and the future of copywriting. Now that we've had more experience with results, we wanted to bring Jason back along with Scott Zetlin, another returning champion for the show. You remember Scott was on talking about conversion rate optimization and future changes copywriters should make a few episodes ago. We wanted to bring them back to bring you up to date on three things. What we've learned about what AI can do with copywriting, what AI cannot do with copywriting, and most important, what AI can do that we never thought it could do. So for today's special edition of the podcast, Nathan is going to lead the show and interview the three of us, so I'll get a chance to talk about what I've learned. Just as I continue to learn that copy is powerful, you're responsible for how you use what you hear on this podcast, and most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims, and if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. But Nathan, let me turn it over to you.
Yeah, so I'm just going to jump in immediately and say the biggest thing that's blown me away is how fast I'm getting copy done now. And one of the things that I actually left a testimonial for you, Jason, I've noticed promos that used to take me 3 weeks to write, I'm getting done in 2 days, 3 days now. And I wanted to know if this was something that all the other guys on the call have noticed or experienced as well.
Yeah, I mean, I can jump in on that just on a, if it's okay with everybody, on a recent project. We, as you know, from before, we do a lot of testing, optimization. So we're working with clients, we're going, looking at it through that window. But we just submitted it today, so it's being produced, so I think it's relevant. We go through our own specific process, but creating and with AI, we took something that is, this without any hyperbole or exaggeration, would take us about 3 weeks, the extent of this particular project. And we got it done in-house within 2 days. And that included really one day, but you know, like we all do, going back over it a few other times. And then I had an idea in the middle of the night, as many of us do. And I just went in and literally with two sentences to the exact same bot, got a rewrite of one small section to make it even better. So when we're talking about speed, from our standpoint, I don't know anything that can beat that kind of speed or compressing time.
Okay, so I do a lot of marketing on social media with social media posts, organic stuff, to promote my book. Because for, you know, $10 or $15 book, depending on whether you get a Kindle or a hard copy, it's usually not worth it to run ads if there's not an ascension funnel. And I would take maybe 2 or 3 hours sometimes because these posts had to be really... They had to do a lot in 300 words. You know, they had to get attention. They had to bring up a problem. They had to tell a story. They had to give examples. They'd break down the story, and then they had to sell the book. That's a lot to do in a short space. With a bot, I've been able to get the same thing done in about 15 minutes, including all the finished copy.
Yeah, I'll say for me, obviously, you guys know my story a little bit, but with an agency, we just kept getting pounded with workload. I got to the point where I was like, I could either hire more people to come on and write, and or I could really go down this AI rabbit hole, and that's what I did. And for speed reasons, obviously, but I find that a lot of people, when they go down this rabbit hole, they seem to go into this area where, yeah, they're able to crank out like generic AI copy fast, but then they have to go and they have to rewrite it over and over and over. And that's not really what we're looking for here. That's not really the point of what we have been doing. Because you, at that point, you might as well write it yourself. Like if you're a good copywriter, for example, you might as well just write the thing from scratch instead of having to painstakingly edit. So I just want to say there's differences in speed here. You know, there's speed with accuracy and speed without accuracy, or speed with something you can just once over, just one manual. My general rule is one manual pass on something and then it's ready to go. But a lot of people are sitting there painstakingly having to rewrite and whatnot. So we'll get into why that is, you know, how you can make that happen. But I think that's the big mistake. If people are looking for speed, but they're not actually getting speed, they're getting to the point where they might as well have written it themselves. So
I'm going to jump in also. David and I have been using, I have a bunch of clients that I do content for, and using some of the stuff that I've learned in the mastermind, we've tested it on a couple episodes of Copywriters Podcast. I'm using some stuff with my other clients for content as well. Just having a simple structure, a simple framework, a couple of rules to follow, and then saying, hey, I want to do a video about this, or I want to do a podcast about this, cuts the prep time from an entire day's worth of work down to 45 seconds worth of work, which is amazing.
Yeah. It's funny. I will say real quick, right before this call, okay, I had a whole client come to me, and this was before we discovered all this, because he was from last year before all this stuff came about, but he needs emails. And I said, look, I could just build you a bot that will literally write you like a 10-day sequence in a minute, you know, something like a minute. And I did it because I have the framework already, and I took his emails that I know were in his, you know, with his voice and whatnot, and I put them in there. And literally, like, I'd say 5 minutes later, I had a fully functional bot for him. I just took one of the URLs to one of his products and I put it in, hit enter, and it just spit out a 10-day campaign in his exact voice. But the frameworks have did the legwork up front, if that makes sense. So I just wanted to say, we're talking about processes that would take weeks down to like a minute, like literally a 10-day email campaign.
Just to piggyback on that, like two things that I think you said was, number one, frameworks, which is different than templates, right? We're giving the bots some guidelines. And what I love about that, because we cannot, the example I just gave, and I know most of what you guys do as well, templated copy isn't something I'm sure you guys can supply to clients, and it certainly isn't something that we could test. So you said frameworks, and I want them to understand that's not like a template. It's almost as if the bots take on, and I know this is going to sound weird, a life of their own, meaning they come up with some creative stuff that I know myself, even though we have our own methods and consider ourselves pretty good, wouldn't have come up with. And the second thing you said was voice, and I just didn't want to get that there. It's your own voice. Even if I would argue you don't write copy and somebody's listening, you still want that conversational, natural tone. Everybody thinks they want to write in the tone of like Gary Halbert or whoever their favorite copywriter is. And those just come across sounding lame. I mean, I guess is the only word that could pop my head. But you just said, I just wanted to hit on those two things, what frameworks and voice, because I think they're really important to what we're talking about.
Yeah, and I'd like to say, you know, it may have become obvious to faithful viewers of Copywriters Podcast that sometimes when I'm doing most of the podcast, it's from a script because I'm good at improv and spontaneity, but not for half an hour at a stretch. It's not the way I'm wired. And I have spent like 2 days sometimes writing these things. I've got it down to a few hours. I can't write them in a minute, but again, I like to pack a lot in, and I like it to be conversational and fun and have interesting examples and some how-to and some philosophical conversation. Nathan and I can have all those things. So, for me, it's not instant, but if I'm saving a day and a half on a 2-day project, that's still pretty impressive.
Jason, I want to circle back a little bit. you and Scott were talking about having it right in our own voice and having it not be templated. And that's one of the things that really set your approach apart from all of the other courses on AI copywriting that I had checked out beforehand, is instead of just saying, here's a template, figure out how to make this offer fit this template, you've come up with an approach that it's more of an extension of how you write rather than kind of shoehorning something into a predetermined template. I wanted to understand how you came to that approach when everybody else seems to be doing the exact same thing of, here's the offer, here's the template, crank me something out.
Yeah, sure. Oh, I noticed that, you know, at the bottom level here, we have generic AI copy, which everyone hates and can spot a mile away. And that's the stuff that people are sitting there editing over and over and over. But then you have like a templated approach kind of above that, which can work fine. I'm not anti-template or anything like that. But, and then right above that, I would say like a more of like a conversational type AI that is non-detectable by the human eye and that seems like actual copy written by a person. Now that's a approach over here, but there's one higher, which is your second brain, which is like the extension of yourself. And that's what makes what we're doing, I think, different than everything out there. If that makes sense, like, because if you have a brand voice that you have worked on over the years or a personality and you start doing AI and it doesn't become an extension of your actual brand voice or personality, then you're kind of backtracking and ruining maybe even years of fine tuning, right? I mean, that's the way I look at it. So that became important to me at that moment when I realized that, when I said, you're doing more damage than probably good if you care about that sort of thing. You know, like if you care about your brand voice or something that you finely tuned and you've put out there, and it acts like it's sort of like a fingerprint out there. You know, every brand voice should sort of be like a unique fingerprint. It should be distinguishable. And you look at it and you say, oh, I know who that is after the first sentence or two. And that's the kind of AI copy you want, if that makes sense. And that's where I've gone with it.
Yeah. And one thing I've learned is that you can do that, but it's not by giving the bot a prompt. I'm David Garfinkel, write like me. It has no idea who David Garfinkel is. It has no idea how I write. So there are an interconnected series of steps which you've developed, including prompt chunks, including maybe a few things I'm not even aware. Oh, well, you've also figured out sometimes, you know, pages of rules which you can embed inside the AI that tell it, you know, I'll give you an example. I have a very bright client who's extremely successful, and he used an AI to, this is kind of an experiment, to rewrite a winning sales letter he'd done. I mean, the guy's so successful, it's just this side of disgusting, right? But that all changed with the AI letter. It was using long, bureaucratic, academic, legalistic, government kind of words for individual investors who wanted to make more money. It just wasn't a match to his voice. It wasn't a way to communicate. And that's the kind of thing I really got disgusted when some friends who weren't particularly good copywriters but were smart marketers started showing me early stuff and said, look, I tried to imitate this person's style. I said, that's terrible. And he said, well, it's better than most people would do on their own. I said, well, you know, that's not a very good standard. I mean, if you have a guy who crashes the plane only 1 out of 10 times, you know, maybe that's better than a civilian who would crash it 10 out of 10 times. But I want a pilot who doesn't crash the plane at all, you know.
Just to piggyback on something I heard that said that I thought maybe could use a little bit of additional explanation, at least from my standpoint. When you mention editing, Jason, and I know like a lot of people will think maybe, and this is from my point of view, well, we have our final copy and now we're sitting and laboring over it. I think there's a whole different level of anybody that's tried to play with AI and use these so-called magic prompts, in that you are actually wrestling with AI, and AI will forget halfway. So we are able to play the game, let's say before we're doing it this way. And if you have, I think what David calls the magic eye, right, to be able to see copy. You can keep redirecting AI in this long string, and you can take hours and hours with it. And I know we've spoken about this before, but at what point does that become a waste of your time? And should you have just written the damn thing yourself, right? So I just wanted to give that one point there that, like, this isn't about, like, AI coming out, printing out, okay, we're going back to your keyboard or paper, whatever, and doing an edit. It's the difference between wrestling with it and having it pump out something really well in your brand voice. And I just will add a tweak and say, it's not about the prompt. And I see that because I have a little bit of a pet peeve with everybody has this secret prompt and everybody's selling their package of prompts and the way to prompt. And it's not at all about that.
You know, I think a lot of this has to do with perspective and mindset, because you can open up Claude and say, you know, write me 2,000 words about, you know, the volcano at Pompeii, and it'll just spit out an essay. People start to leap to too many assumptions. The thing that they do is they assume that the AI is as smart or smarter than they are, and that the AI is a genie in the bottle. And, you know, they don't have to do any original foundational thinking before they ask it to do anything. And the problem is that the AI is pulling from God knows where when you treat it that way. It's not a genie in the bottle. It's basically like silly putty. It's very malleable. It'll be whatever you want it to be, but you have to tell it, and you have to know how to tell it, and you have to know what you want to tell it. I mean, I mentor a lot of copywriters, and I've worked with a few beginners. I don't do that anymore because I'm not good at it, and I don't know how to make it work. But when you're training someone to do something, it's not like you're giving them, you know, a manual to use a barbecue in the backyard. There are a lot of different aspects you have to cover in order to make something work. And, you know, once you understand that, to the beginning, the winning strategy is to see the AI as an assistant, not as a collaborator or a genie in the bottle, you're pretty far ahead. And then once you see it as an assistant, you can make it a faithful, reliable extension of your own brain, your own personality, your own expression. But you have to start out from the right place and understanding there's certain work you have to do up front, or it could go in any direction, including mostly ones you don't want it to go in.
So I've got a question for Jason. I've sat in on your construction of quite a few of these AI bots, and it seems like you usually start with kind of a 50,000 foot view of what you want it to do. And you have a structure of here's how I'm going to get there. But then you run it and then you're like, oh, I need to massage this. Scott talked earlier about wrestling. I kind of see your approach as massaging. You're usually, okay, let's see if we add a little bit of pressure here, what that does. Oh, it added a bulge over on this other side. Let's make sure that we're compensating for that. And so I wanted to real quick, we've got, when we're writing something, we've got a bunch of different pieces. We've got the hook, we've got the structure, we've got the pitch, we've got a bunch of different variables all going on. And I wanted to kind of talk about some of the dangers, some of the things that copywriters need to be looking out for as they're going through this process.
Sure. I often think about this like you're trying to translate something in a way that AI can understand it. It's almost like you're trying to translate in a different language to it. So if you're trying to tell it what a hook is, for example, it's probably not going to understand exactly what you mean by hook unless you tell it in a very, very interesting new way, you know? So don't assume that it understands like what you mean by hook versus what it's been trained on with hook, for example. And the way I look at it is giving it data points to triangulate exactly what I want. And I know that's kind of like a, you know, $20 word or whatever, but what that means is we're giving it a lot of different points of references so it can just keep on triangulating and getting down closer and closer to exactly what's in my brain, because we want it to be indistinguishable on the output. You know, whatever is in my brain should be, or whatever is in the output should be almost indistinguishable from what's in here. And that's not what people are able to do, except for us. And I mean, I just haven't seen anybody else do it, I guess.
Well, one thing I'd like to say is, and I've never heard this said before, but I believe you said it in different words just now. You need certain analytical skills, including maybe certain self-knowledge or self-referential or self-exploration skills in order to make AI. You need that kind of awareness, and you figured out how to do it, and you figured out how to teach other people to do it, or you figured out how, even if someone doesn't have that awareness, how they can replicate your method and still, replicate their own voice in the copy. But most people aren't even thinking about that or talking about that.
No, I just wanted to put a little bit of icing on that, because I just don't want it to come across as too improbable if you don't consider yourself analytical just from the standpoint. It's all doable, right? It's about, from my eyes, following a process that you can follow. From a self-awareness, the way I would put that, just for maybe a different way so people can understand if they're thinking about it differently, is really, what is it that you want it to do? Really, in simple terms, what do you want that to look like? And so I'm pretty sure everybody listening to your podcast understands, let's just take it maybe, he used $20 words, I'll use $1 words, right? I try to. For my way there is like, what do we actually want to create? How do we normally create that, right? And I'm going to add one last thing to that if somebody's listening, you don't even have that level, because we've been told this during the mastermind, what's very cool is you're going to learn it. Right there, like I know in the last one, there's some people who are very experienced that jump in. So just from a strict copywriting standpoint, there's just a lot going on. And then I'm going to add one last thing, and then I'll zip it for a minute. But is that, you know, there are bots already that exist, and one of the things that they're also able to do is to take a look at how those were structured, and as they learn the process, put their own brand voice within that. So it's not like, I just don't want it to come across. It is very, very different. I've never seen anybody else approach it this way. It's a very, very unique way of approaching AI that, like I said before, enables AI to think and think in your own voice. But you don't have to be a tech wizard or completely analytical to do it, I guess is the point I just wanted to make.
Right. I guess what I'm saying is the reason other people aren't getting results that sound like the person they want it to sound like when they're writing is they haven't used analytical methods. Yeah. With what Jason's offering, you don't have to use analytical methods. You just have to use his bots the way he tells you to use them, and it's not all that hard. But he has come up with bots that perform this kind of analysis that I haven't seen take place anywhere else.
Yeah.
This exactly. Might not be the best analogy, but I do have something kind of swirling around in my mind about this. But let's say most people, they approach AI as if you're giving AI a very vague image of what you're asking it to do. So all we're doing is we're helping it crystallize that image in as many ways as possible so that it becomes a clear image to the AI. Let's just say, I mean, that's the best way I can think about it. You're crystallizing that image so that it knows exactly what you want. Because if you don't do that, then the output is not going to be extension of your brain. It's going to be something that you have to work on for hours.
I'm going to add into that, any copywriter that's ever worked with a copy cub, you have to give instructions. You have to understand what it is that you're doing and what you want. And then you have to be able to explain and teach. And one of the things that Jason, I see you do that I think is really unique is then providing examples. Oh, that's not exactly what I was looking for. Here, let me show you what I'm asking for, what a wrong example looks like, and what a right example looks like. And adding that little key aspect of what we call prompts is something that I see you doing, and you do it masterfully. And I think that that's one of the other kind of secret ingredients that makes your bots kind of outperform everything else out there right now. And I wanted to ask, where did that idea come from?
I don't know, honestly. It's just, I've always thought about if it's not dialed in, I can't really use it. I just, honestly, I was getting crushed with my workload, and I did it out of necessity. That's where it came from. Honestly, it was nothing other than I didn't believe that any of this stuff would actually work because everything I saw was not what I thought it would be, you know, every time I tried anything. But one thing I did notice is that it needed all to be dialed in about 100 times better than what it was. You know, like everything you see, it needs to be dialed in. And that's through, you know, rules and examples like we're talking about. Sometimes it's reasons why, like we've talked about in the mastermind. Sometimes it's like, yeah, like literally showing a before and after. So just whatever it requires, you know, to really tune it in, because otherwise you're just giving it too much room to be inconsistent and fill out that image however they want it to fill it out. But if I give them all these different, I would say if you want to look at it like images or making the image more bright and clear and vivid, the brighter and more vivid you can give that image to it, it's going to make that output like that consistently, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I think people who are insisting on using AI to write copy, you know, whether they're using JSON method or not, is this question. Where does the AI get the information it's using to create the copy? Because copy needs to come from some information, right? And there's really only two answers. It comes from you or it comes from somewhere else. Okay, so if it comes from you, you have control of what you're going to give it. If it comes from somewhere else, where's that? Well, it could be anywhere. It could be something that somebody called copy once that it found on the internet that you wouldn't call copy. It could be from a book about branding that is like totally devoid of any direct response copywriting rules. It could be from somebody's ill-informed opinion on a blog from 6 years ago about what a headline is or a hook is or an offer is or proof is. You don't have any idea or any control. It's kind of like when a kid comes into the house and he wants to start eating something before washing his hands, and his mother says, "Do you know where those hands have been?" It's the same idea, right? You don't know where the AI has been to get the information and if any of it's any good, not just the factual information, but the structuring information, the styling information, the word choice information. And most people don't stop to think about that. I don't know if you have, Jason, but you found a way to short circuit the AI reaching out and getting a bunch of crap that's useless or even dangerous.
If you leave it to its own devices, that's all it's going to do. I mean, just think about keeping it on. I don't really know if this is the way to look at it, but keeping it on a leash, you know, if you're just using normal AI, you're using a very long leash, I guess, and you're just allowing the dog to pull you around everywhere. But when you're climbing up this hierarchy from you go to templated, the leash gets shorter. You go to more of like organic conversational approach to AI, like that leash gets a little shorter. But if you want absolute control over this dog and you want that leash to be completely short, then you have to really triangulate what you want. You really have to communicate in a language it can understand in every possible way.
To expand upon this, but in a slightly different way, because I just think it's worth from thinking about. So when we talk about conversational and triangulating, it can actually go down to the word level, the phrase level, the way somebody uses words, right? But I don't want to miss this point, because I think it's important, or at least to me. It's flexible. It's not always, well, we're talking about like the analogies of the leash, which is absolutely like great and, you know, containing it. At the same time, it's not stiff. It actually has the ability in the way you're structuring all of this to, using your term, to be a second brain, to think about things in combinations in ways that not that we're not capable of, but certainly things that we wouldn't think about, I wouldn't think about in combination, that you go, oh, damn, that's really good. I just want to like let know that despite that it's being triangulated and how it's being done, it's not about, well, you can use them a knowledge base. It's not about feeding it with tons and tons and tons of information like other people are doing. It's about the structure of the way the whole thing's built that enables it to pull in its chain so it doesn't go loose where it shouldn't, but at the same time has this like really beautiful flexibility to it.
That's a good point, because I think that analogy breaks down if you want to look at it It could look more like a templated kind of approach, but it's really not, because let's say there's a sort of a spectrum. That's probably the best way to look at it. There's on this side of the spectrum, you're just letting AI do whatever, right? Like Gary Halbert, what does that even mean? You know, like it's going to write however you want. Over here, you have a very, or over here, you have a very templated approach where it's very rigid and it will fill in the blank, you know, but that's not what we're looking for. We're kind of looking for something on the spectrum that's more organic. This is like a reverse camera, but it's more organic, but it gives it freedom. It gives it freedom to roam within certain boundaries, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
It does. Okay, I've got one last question for you. And I feel like this is the answer to this varies widely. When it comes to editing, we've talked a couple of times on this episode about going back and editing. And sometimes if you don't do it right up front, you might spend more time editing than you would have writing the piece yourself. I wanted to get a couple of thoughts. And then also, if we have the time, bots for editing. I've seen some stuff that you and David have worked on for bots that actually help you in the editing process. So when it comes to the editing, what's your goal when it comes to the end of a piece of copy that you've had it right for you? What are you aiming for your editing? And then ways to have the AI help you in your editing.
Who's that question toward?
You specifically, and then David and Scott as well.
A lot of times I'm just kind of, I look at it like I'm going to let the copy. I've got attuned in so much to the point where I don't really have to do that too much. Because if you look at it like this, like you do the legwork up front to like build this machine, and the machine writes like you. But all that work is front loaded for something that can crank out like a VSL tomorrow, you know, or 10-day email campaign or whatever. And you tweak it to the point where really there's not much, you know, not much that needs to be done after that once it comes out. But I think where the editing bots come in, for me at least, is I don't really want to think so much. That's one reason why I do this. I don't feel like thinking. So I'd like the editing bots to tell me, you can beef up the proof right here. You know, you can beef up the proof right there. And you can do it with this. And I didn't have to rack my brain to think of that. But word for word, I feel like I've got it pretty tuned in, like where I want it, you know, to begin with. Usually. So I think for me, the editing bots have more to do, more so like have a more strategic sort of advantage. So it'll give me strategy, you know, it'll give me a tie a proof element here. I didn't think about that. That's a good idea. You know, that sort of thing. So,
yeah, I would say that for me, editing, it depends, but I'll get back to my one example of the social media bot. I mean, I've always needed to spend 5 or 10 minutes on it because obviously it takes about a minute to produce the thing, and I'm usually out the door in 15 minutes with it. I have a particular style that it's hard even to communicate it to the bot, and it comes about 80% on the way there. You know, when AI tries to be clever or smooth, that's kind of when you reached its natural limit. I mean, can't do that. So I might have to come up with a better hook or slightly better transitions. And you know, sometimes it likes to get way too motivational and tell us how the world's going to be greater when we start telling stories in our sales pitch. And I need to like wring some of that stuff out of my copy. As far as, you know, the editing, I mean, one of the things AI is better than many humans at is being thorough. And so it can, you know, you can use an editing bot to find inconsistencies. I'm not talking about misspelling or punctuation, but like, is there proof missing? Is there something a little vague in the offer? Is there something that could be done to improve the headline that your tired brain might not think of? So that's how I look at it and how I use it.
So we approach it in a little bit of a different way just because of what we do primarily. So first of all, I'll go back to what Jason had said before about front loading. So most of the stuff that you don't like in an output, you can front load into a bot. When we were talking earlier about massaging, a good portion of that. So a good portion of it, we can do a one pass through. What we're doing a lot is when we are doing it for clients or when we're teaching and people using our tools, we're creating and making existing copy and funnels much, much better through testing and optimization, right? So we have created, and it falls under the setting bot, where it will review. And I think this piggybacks a little bit on what both Jason and David had said, that are able to take our structures. Now we're continuing to build this out, so it's a big thing, but what it's able to do is take what we used to do manually, a lot of steps. We have a Trello board with hundreds and hundreds of different steps, but what it's able to do is shortcut a lot of that and analyze, I guess you would call it editing, what can be done to improve these conversions. And that's part of the editing. The only other way, from a standpoint, I'll go back just to the example I gave earlier, that I edit is, you know, some of the bots, I'll give an example. One of the bots I was using, it was being used for what I would refer to the sales argument in an editorial sort of fashion. And it gave thousands of words, but we only wanted three steps and it gave six or seven. So what was the manual editing? My manual editing was, first of all, which of the three did I like best? And then, like I said, pick three, and then an idea came in the middle of the night and said, no, I actually just basic, simple instruction. What if we replaced one of these steps with X, and 2 minutes later came out one pass through? So I hope that at least illustrates. But from a traditional standpoint of editing, and I don't know if you guys find the same thing, most of it can be front loaded, and that's why you're spending that time massaging it, and you do it once, and then it's writing for the most part in the way that you want with a single pass.
I'm going to put the link to where people can go check out and see if the mastermind is correct for them, right fit for them, in the show notes. Do we have a short URL, or is it this giant Google Docs URL that would be too long to read over the air?
If you just go to jasonparker.ai, then you'll see the button for it right at the top. That's probably the easiest way.
Nice.
Or just email, because I'm always talking to people. Like, I feel like it's more of a white glove sort of thing anyway. So if you just want to email me particularly, I mean, jason@parkerkirkland.com would be fine. I'm happy to talk to you about it. I like everybody who's come in pretty much has come in through conversation like that. It's not something, I mean, even when people come in, they're onboarded in a white glove kind of way, literally. It's just,
that's really ironic, right? I mean, here we are at the cutting edge, but we're so old school. We handle customers one at a time personally through email. Wow.
Best of both worlds. Okay. Guys, thank you so much for coming on. We will put a link in the show notes to go find out more. If it sounds like something that you're interested in, check out the show notes over at copywriterspodcast.com. And until next time, we will catch you later.
Catch you later. Thanks, guys.
Hey, did you enjoy today's show? Want to help get it into the ears of more listeners? Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app.
This is the Copy and Funnels Podcast Network.